Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Tonight, we are going to do a bit of a twist. And when I say twist, I guess what I'm really referring to is talking points. I have material for, I would say about 4 good talking points here, but I don't have enough material for just one. So we are going to start out tonight, of course, with Ghoulish Chatterbox, where Mildred is back in the house. Then we're going to get into the Haunted Report, which I think you're going to find very, very interesting. And then we're going to get into a few talking points here. One in particular is going to be about the Bullock Hotel, which is located in Deadwood, South Dakota. Another one is going to be about Haunted Custer State Park, which is located in Custer, South Dakota. And, of course, I cannot mention the name of the bed and breakfast that I recently stayed at, but that one I think you're going to find very interesting because we have a new aspect about transportation, not transportation as in car, bus, railroad, or whatnot. No. Transporting yourself back in time just before you die. And so I think that one is going to be a very interesting episode in and of itself. Before we get started, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. So let's start with my books. All of you know that you can have access to my books on Amazon.com with, of course, the eighth book, which is Manifestations, being the most interesting. For some of you who go on Amazon.com and you put my name in there, you're also going to learn and find that I am also writing cookbooks. No, not haunted cookbooks, although that would be a good one, wouldn't it? If I could come up with the way to design a haunted cookbook, I think it would be a pretty good seller, you know? I'm hoping to get into book number 9 next year. I need to start writing down a lot of the different experiences I've had that are much different than the ones that I've reported in my other books, so that way I can have a good, clean, fresh book just ready and willing to be read by most of you. But that we're going to have to put on hold until next year. Of course, if you're interested in a cookbook, you just let me know. I would say not to buy it on Amazon because, of course, the price is astronomical, but there is a way you can reach out to me if you're interested, if you want to buy one of my cookbooks. Okay. Yeah, cookbooks, paranormal, mix them together. How does that equal? It equals I'm a very busy person. That's what it equals. Well, as most of you know, we're still in our season of COVID. All right. I have been tested twice negative, although I swear I had this back in the day, and I actually did my antibodies test. Well, that also came up as not detected. But the one thing about that, which someone just reported recently, is that if you have COVID or had COVID, that the antibodies that you produce may not be strong enough to last beyond 3 months. So I'm just sending that out to you as what I'm reporting from what I'm hearing, just so that people don't get a little bit too careless and think that because they've had it, that they can't get it again, or that they may not be, they might not get it in a way where it's even more dangerous, or it could be less dangerous. Who knows? This is one mysterious virus. I will be happy when the day comes when we're not listening, hearing about it, or talking about it anymore. So that's my little COVID segment right there. What else has been going on? Not a heck of a lot. I think most of us have been staying put, been working from home. Some of us are getting back in the groove again regarding our kids going to school, and that's actually nerve-wracking for a lot of people right now. Regarding the holidays, yes, the holidays, as of this airing, are coming up. We always have a holiday, it seems like, here in the U.S., but the thing is do you get together? Don't you get together? How do you social distance? Do you, there's so many questions about safety these days, and again, you know, we're racing for this vaccine that can finally put us all on the same playing field regarding our health, and it's going to be a tough one, people. I've known some people who have passed away from this awful COVID stuff, and I can honestly say that I just do not want it. And if I had it, my antibodies are gone. So that's what it's reporting to me. Let's see here. What else can I report to you before we get into these segments tonight? Well, that's a deep subject. I would say that many of you have probably done a lot of projects this year. I have. I've been extremely busy. I have traveled. Yes, I've traveled, but I've tried to travel safely. One of my travels was very risky, but you'll hear all about that when we get to the segment about Las Vegas. Yes, I didn't go to Wright this time. I couldn't focus. There's no way a person can go to Las Vegas in this environmental condition and not even think about what's going on around you and be able to focus. So usually I go there to write, and maybe I'll do so again, but I didn't have any issues with that trip, knock on wood, but I'm going to tell you it was a very different experience in Las Vegas. So I guess on that note, I have nothing else to really report. Why don't we sit back, relax, and let's move right on into Ghoulish Chatterbox. Stay tuned.
Do you often sleep
with the lights on? Ghoulish.
Mildred, what's going on right now?
Oh, hello, Dr. Kelly. I just won on Pretty in Pink, number 4, my horsey!
Mildred, how many times have I sat you down and talked to you about gambling on horses or whatever you might be doing?
I'm not gambling. I'm putting some money down on some of the ponies that I like. Everyone else does it. Look how excited they are. They're all jumping up for joy. Some of them don't look too happy, but I just won big bucks.
How much did you win exactly, Mildred?
A dollar.
Don't tell me. It was the favorite?
Well, you always bet on the favorite, but you also bet on the long shot, too.
If you ever win on the long shot, how much would you get, Mildred, if you went on the long shot?
Probably $3, but you know what? Who's counting? A winner is a winner. Go, number 7, go. Ooh, Pretty in Purple. I love color purple.
Mildred.
Hang on, Dr. Kelly. I gotta put my zen into this. I gotta give him all the energy that I can. I think I'm gonna go over to the horse and blow in its ear.
Mildred, I... Oh, my God. Mildred is actually on the racetrack right now, chasing number 7, Pretty in Purple, around the track. What are you doing, Mildred?
Dr. Kelly, I'm blowing in its ear, and it's working!
I don't know what she's saying right now, but all I can tell you is that that poor horse looks like it's trying to swat a fly. Well, let's see what happens here. Oh, it is gaining some speed. Ooh, oh my goodness, the crowd is kind of going wild here. You don't suppose anyone else bet on number 7, do you? Oh, there it goes. They're rounding the bend. Ooh, boy, she's really doing something to that horse because it almost looks irritated. Anyway, there they come. Here they come. Oh my God, goodness. It won.
Dr. Kelly, I'm a winner! Winner, winner, chicken dinner! I won on my horse! Well,
Mildred, how much do you think you actually got off that horse? I think it was the long shot. How much did you put down?
50 cents!
Okay, how much did you get off that horse?
Well, let me find out. Oh, I'm exhausted. And you know, it kept swatting at me. And then that horse, I don't know what that was, horse spit. It just, every time it was rounding, the wind would catch it and it'd fly in my face. Ooh, gross. I'm going to go up to the counter. Here's my ticket. Yes, I'd like to cash this in, please. Why is this woman just staring at me?
Mildred, probably because she can't see you.
I would like to cash my winning ticket in, please.
Here, Mildred, let me help you a little bit. I would like to cash my winning ticket in, please. Yes, I only put down 50 cents. No, I don't understand why the ticket's wet. It looks like it has some kind of slobber on it, but I got all excited and I just didn't know what to do. All right, thank you very much. Here, Mildred, it's a buck. Hang on to it.
Dr. Kelly, we're off to the races again.
No, Mildred, I think it would be a good idea if we just sat back for a moment and just watched a few others really, you know, bask in the glory here. How's that?
Well, all right, but you know what? I'm going to take my money and I'm going to walk with it, because if there's a winner here today,
it's me. You bet, Mildred, that and the horse. That and the horse.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, where do I begin? So over the past couple months, probably since August, I thought that my life would be relatively uneventful in regards to giving you a report on anything that I have encountered from a haunted perspective. Well, I have a number of situations that I can report to you, and I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to wrap this into our main segment for the evening. So why don't we just start from the beginning? Haunted report number 1 takes us to the Bullock Hotel, located in Deadwood, South Dakota. And what makes Bullock Hotel so interesting? You know, they say that that town in and of itself is rather haunted. Anywhere you go, there's so much energy lying around there that you never know when something's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and who it's going to happen to. For myself, I can tell you that my husband and I took a 2-week vacation. We went through the entire state of North Dakota, and we went through the entire state of South Dakota. And we hit all of the major spots, with a few left over that we'll go back to at some point, hopefully in the next couple years. One of the adventures I wanted to understand was the Bullock Hotel. And let me tell you a little bit about what happened here. So we stayed at the Bullock Hotel one night. I would say, I'm trying to remember when we were there, mid-September. Beautiful time of year to go to the western side of Medora in North Dakota and do all of the tourist traps in the Rapid City, Custer State Park area. Just absolutely fabulous, fabulous, perfect, perfect weather. Were we lucky on that? No, I think our timing was just pretty lucky. But along the way, in looking at some of the different areas and environmental conditions at some point, we made our way down to Deadwood, South Dakota. And this time, I wanted to spend just a little more time than usual at some of its tourist traps, such as the cemetery Mount Moriah, where Hickok and Calamity Jane, Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane, are buried. That was an interesting spot. And a very pretty, pretty cemetery. Very hilly, though. So wear good tennis shoes if you're ever there. And then we walked the town of Deadwood just to kind of get a feel for it. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that place ever went up in smoke, it would go up fast. These buildings are old. They're somewhat dilapidated. It's amazing that they're still standing. It's amazing that, you know, during some of the heavy periods of tourist time out there, including the Sturgis Rally, I'm really, really surprised that the place is still standing. But the Bullock is one of few that's really relatively known to be continuously haunted by a few people in there. So let me first start by intriguing you with a little bit of information on the historic Bullock Hotel. And let's see if I can intrigue you further with some of the adventures being there that evening. We went on a haunted tour, which was a very basic tour, but yet also very eventful. All right, so the historic Bullock Hotel is located, of course, on Main Street. It was built by Seth Bullock, an early sheriff of Deadwood, and his business partner, Saul Starr, around the year 1895 for the mere cost of $40,000. Keep in mind that whatever that rate is today, or what that would be the equivalent of today, it would be a lot of money, okay? It's the oldest hotel in Deadwood. It has a small, like they all do, a small casino inside. It has a restaurant and 28 of its original 63 rooms. And I believe what it's saying is 28 of those rooms are the ones that are rented out, and at one time it used to have 63 rooms. I don't know what happened to the other, okay? And so it was built by Seth Bullock between 1894 and 1896 from a converted warehouse to a 3-story hotel. And then shortly after, the Deadwood Fire of 1894 destroyed the original 2-story wood frame building and devastated much of the town of Deadwood. Well, I guess we found out what happened to the other rooms, okay? It is believed the hotel was originally constructed and decorated in an Italian-like and Victorian style, with the first floor of the hotel boasting a large dining room in the rear, a kitchen and a pantry, a sample room where salesmen could store their cases, and also a grand hotel lobby and offices in the front. Well, today when you walk in, you walk down a very short hallway, and I would say that the front desk is relatively small, nothing grand, and a little cramped, if you ask me. The second and third stories are said to have held 63 luxury sleeping rooms with baths down the halls and two large banks of skylights for lighting in the inner rooms with natural light. It is also believed that all rooms were furnished with iron and brass beds and oak furnishings. Yes, I can honestly say that a lot of that was originally there at one time, but I can honestly tell you that a lot of that, if most of that, is not there anymore. And because of that fire, it depends. If they burn that place nearly to the ground or a large portion of it, it destroyed a lot of what was in there. Okay. So then the hotel was sold to the Ayers family in 1976 and converted the building to a hardware store up until around 1991, when the building underwent another renovation by new owners, the Bullock Properties, and converted it back to a hotel. The original furnishings had been sold at an auction in 1976, so between 1991 and 1993, the hotel underwent an extensive renovation to recreate the original atmosphere and decor. And the current owners state that the hotel had been carefully restored based on the best available information that they had in the late 1800s by uncovering details that gave clues to its original decor. And some of the changes included lowering some of the ceilings, paint stripping, restaining of the woodwork, repapering and decorating the ceilings to reflect a Victorian design, and basically adding in some 48-inch solid brass chandeliers light fixtures, etc. And the kitchen and pantry were further converted into a restaurant and a bar named Bully's, named for Seth Bullock's longtime friend, Teddy Roosevelt. And yes, when we were in North Dakota, in Medora, it's all about Teddy Roosevelt there. And the park, which you need to go through sometime, which is the North Dakota Badlands. Absolutely spectacular, beautiful. Theodore, I can't remember how they phrased it, but it's the south end. There was the south side, which is in Medora, Medora, North Dakota. And it's the North Dakota Badlands, and also the Painted Canyon, which is just down the road, which is free for people to go in if there's a visitor center there. But the reason why I bring this up is because it's very interesting how there was an association with this Seth Bullock with Teddy Roosevelt. And so there is a room inside this hotel room, inside the hotel, that is dedicated or named the Roosevelt Suite, okay? The haunting folklore. Let's get into the haunting of this place, shall we? It says here, this is all from Wikipedia, and I'm not a big Wikipedia person, but there are times when they do get some of this stuff right. Contrary to popular belief, Seth Bullock did not die at the hotel in room 211, but at his home at 28 Van Buren Street, which is in Deadwood, okay? It is possible that incorrect reports of his demise at the hotel, propagated reports of his ghost being sighted at the hotel, which continue to this day by guests, workers, and tourists. Many people who have supposedly had contact with Bullock's ghost say that they were never harmed, but were merely touched or called out for. Apparitions and orbs have often been reported by guests. Employees say that the ghost merely continues to play host and often makes sure his employees are working hard, because many employees have said when they were taking breaks, they felt a paranormal presence and got back to work immediately. Ghost tours of the hotel are held regularly, and many thrill seekers, groups, and non-believers have spent the night there. And in 2015, the hotel was featured on, of course, a Halloween episode of The Ghost Adventures with, of course, the infamous Zach Bagans. Okay, so let's get into what I uncovered there that night, what I experienced, what other people experienced, so I can intrigue you a little bit further about this hotel. So usually, because I'm an empath, I'm relatively sensitive. Sometimes I put myself into shutdown or put a block around me, because you just never really know how negative something might be if you're in their territory or their space. And when we went there, I can honestly say that I'm always a little nervous now where I go, because I know how bad it can get when something is trying to take possession of me or trying to affect me in a way where I don't have any control over my body or what's happening. So you can imagine that when you're with your husband or a relative or whoever, you might begin to wonder, well, what do they do if something happens to me? Well, there's not much you can do. You just hope that the experience doesn't last very long. I decided to sign my husband and I up for this ghost tour. We're very fortunate to be one of the few remaining. So if you ever do go to Deadwood, South Dakota, or Custer State Park or anything like that, you need to go before September 23rd, so that way not a lot of these events that they have are closing down because the weather is about to change. And in this particular case, they were having a few more ghost tours before they were going to start limiting them to few and far in between until the next season, you know, started. Okay, so we went into this hotel, and my first impression was it really did attempt to depict the sign of the times back in the 1800s. So that was my first impression. It was like, okay, they succeeded there. Check the box right there. The second thing I noticed when I was in there is that they had a rope across a stairwell that led down into a basement or lower area. And of course, on this rope, it said, do not pass or do not go down these stairs. Okay, so I'm like, all right, something's going on downstairs. They don't want people running around there. Obviously, they're roping this up, so they're either, some people would say, oh, they're just trying to create hype. No, they weren't trying to create hype, because in the lobby, there is a book, and it is full of ghost stories and various types of ghost stories, and some stories that'll make your hair stand up and other stories that are like, seems relatively uneventful. But for the ghost hunter or the ghost experiencer, yeah, it's possible to definitely have an experience in that hotel. So long story short, we went on this ghost tour. I think, what time was it? Around 6 or 7 o'clock. And there were probably, 10 to 15 of us on this tour. And I will, number one, if you go on tours, don't expect to see much. Ghosts don't usually like big crowds. They, a lot of times, they'll just sit back, steer clear, and then they'll isolate somebody that they think that is probably their best target, and then they will probably do something to at least startle that person or give them a clue that they're there. But a lot of times, you're not going to capture much at all. Now, of course, there was a stark warning. We went down those stairs. We went down to the basement, and of course, the tour guide set the scene by keeping the lights off. Well, that doesn't help if you're night blind like I am, because then you trip over everything. But she started out with just a short video on basically giving the history of Bullock Hotel. When that history was done playing, she began to talk about some of the experiences that happened there. So, for example, as we were going down the hallway to go back into this room, which looked like some type of a bar area that, you know, that they have parties in or something like that, she did say that if there was anything taken from the hotel and or especially down in that area, that chances are likely Sam, the ghost who watches over that whole area, would follow you home or send part of its energy home with you, and you will find your furniture turned upside down. Okay, now, one is like, oh yeah, sure, whatever, but there's been many of items returned back to that area, down in the basement, even down to a rock that had been returned in a box, in an envelope, told, sorry, I took this from the hotel, been having too many experiences in my house, please let it go away, here you go, thanks for the warning. So that is a warning for any of you who do stay at the Bolek Hotel in Deadwood, not to tamper or take anything, not even a rock, basically around the property, okay? The tour guide told us about a young gal, this was a really sad story, told us about a young gal by the name of Sally who liked to run around the entire hotel and trip people, toy with them, etc., and giggle and laugh once her mission was accomplished. So she was kind of like a devious little thing, and somewhere in that hotel, she was somewhere, but when she was sick, she came down with smallpox. And the really sad part of it all is I think down in the basement where we were, I believe it was also a mortuary. And I think that that's correct. And what had happened is when she got the diagnosis from the doctor that she had smallpox, the doctor said that there's no cure for it, so they might as well just essentially, I hate to say this, but it's what happened. They buried her alive and they killed her. I mean, and just for having the smallpox, because they said it's just not going to get worse. And so I don't know if it was at the point she went unconscious or got so sick that she just didn't have any energy left, but they buried her alive. And to this day, actually, it wasn't just buried her alive. I'm not positive. I think that this is the one where they cremated her alive as well. And so that's what they were doing back then with a lot of these individuals, because they couldn't risk any more of that disease being floated around. So that's why her soul still exists, and she seems to toy and have a lot of fun with people there. And Sam is, he hung himself, and he was a very tall man. And basically, what happened with him is down in that bar area, down in the basement, he, if you touch his piano and you wipe off his fingerprints, which are full, it's full of dust down there, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like anyone touching his handprint, which still exists on the piano top to this day, because they do not dust it. They just allow it to remain the way it is, and his prints do show up once in a while. I took a few pictures of it. You know, the tour guide pointed to it, but she would not touch it at all. But Sam, if he doesn't like you, he'll follow you. He'll choke you. He'll put pressure to your chest. Some people, if he doesn't like you at all, basically you'll faint. You'll get dizzy. You won't feel very good. You'll be anxious. And so at the point that the tour guide was talking about a lot of that, all of a sudden there's a couple that got up and they had enough and they left the tour. They just, fun and games over with. They believed her 100% and off they went. And the thing is that, so I'm sitting there, I'm like a magnet. I had my K2 meter with me the whole time. And essentially I was sitting in the dark watching all this stuff with my K2 meter on and just waiting for something to be around me, near me, and approach me. And of course the tour guide was very interested in what was happening. So she made it a point to come and stand near by me, because she was like a ghost magnet herself, and I think she wanted to see the K2 meter go off. I think it flickered once, But for the most part, I don't get excited unless I see a 4 to a 5 level, you know, going off on your K2 meter, all the buttons being pushed. Anyhow, Sam didn't seem to bother me at all. I walked around like we all did, took pictures. No one really captured anything, but I captured all kinds of orbs and stuff like that. And of course, again, you can ask whether it's dust in the environment or whatever, but the truth be told, the minute everybody left, somehow, once again, I ended up being the last person to leave, and I was standing there in the dark, and then I was starting to kind of freak out. My whole system was coming alive, and I turned around, and I took my camera, and I gave it one last flash, and sure enough, I had an incredibly solid, snowy orb scene coming right at me. Now, keep in mind, everything was crystal clear with a few orbs hanging out here and there, which I captured. But for the most part, it was like, hello, here we all are. We were down here and now we can come out and play. Some of them went up the stairs and were already up in certain levels. I captured them up there. We did capture, or I captured, I should say, all kinds of things on certain floors. Very interesting. They had a brothel, I call it the Hitler of the brothel, a woman who actually stays in one of the rooms. It's not 211. 211 is Bullock's room, but yes, I can honestly tell you that there was orbs hanging about around the Bullock room, above my husband's head, above the tour guide's head, around the coming up the stairs, whatever it was. If it was Mr. Bullock, that's one thing. If it was something down from the basement, that's another thing. But definitely, definitely captured activity there. Anne's room, which was 204, something to do with cats, hearing cat noises and baby noises in there all the time. The one that's right next to 204, I can't remember if it's 205, is where the brothel manager was. No, that was up on the third floor. I called her the head bitch. I'm sorry, excuse my French, but that's what she was. Anyone who stays in room 304 will have to sign a waiver because the woman hates women in there. She has a tendency to make people depressed, suicidal, sick to their stomach. She loves men, and she does perform sexual acts on men in that room. So, if you want a joyride, go to 304 in the Bullock Hotel. Outside of that, she is. There's also been sightings of Mr. Bullock walking down the hallway a few times by the tour guide. There's also been brothel women who have stayed back and have been, I don't know if they've been murdered or they committed suicide in the hotel, down at the ends of certain hallways that will lure men into their rooms. And then when the men come down there thinking that somebody needs help or whatever, they enter this room only to find nobody. But I found that place to be really, really interesting. I didn't have anything happen in our room, which was 201. Nothing seems to happen in that one, but there seems to be activity that seems to happen in the mirrors, down in certain people's rooms, knocks at the door asking if people are okay for the evening, sounds of cats scratching or little babies crying. What I found really interesting about the dead is that Seth Bullock, half of his body was buried in the cemetery, and the other half was buried in Illinois. So he was actually cut in half, and because he couldn't make up his mind which place he wanted to be buried in. And so that's what he did. He had himself sawed in half. So anyway, I could go on and on about this hotel. Very interesting. Just a lot of it. I did hear the next morning, I can stand behind that. I did hear a baby's cry come through our vent in room 201. I did not ask the people at the desk if there were any children or babies staying in the hotel that night because they got busy and I wanted to question them a little bit more on that. But I have to say, I turned to my husband and I said, "Did you hear that?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Did that not sound like a baby crying through the vent?" And he said, "Yeah, he heard it. Yes, it was. But we don't know if it was a real baby or, again, one that they had reported. That happens in that hotel. I'm not sure. I guess if we go back again sometime, I'm going to ask that question next time." Here ends the haunted report on the Bullock Hotel. Stay tuned for the mini reports on Las Vegas, Custer State Park, and of course, if we have a moment, the infamous Bed and Breakfast, which I think you'll find very, very interesting. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the main segment of the evening, which will be very educational. Hopefully it'll be a little bit intriguing and that you might be able to learn a little bit from some of the experiences that I have undergone in the last, I would say, 4 to 5 weeks. When my husband and I went on vacation, we were not expecting anything to surface or come our way, but you'd be surprised that when you least expect something or you're not looking for it, then all of a sudden stuff starts to happen and pop out. And I have to say that there wasn't anything on my entire journey in these last 4 or 5 weeks that would spell negative or mean. I would say that more along the lines of intriguing and interesting and just something to sit up and take notice about. I want to go back a moment to Medora, North Dakota, where the south end of the Badlands are. Now, that's a 26-mile round trip. One-way Badland drive experience. And on that experience, just beautiful, beautiful, it's not flat. It's a very hilly, mountainy, rangy kind of thing, but there are a lot of buffalo and prairie dog land and all that kind of things. And you're going to see buffalo like right up in personal, very close, but you do not touch a buffalo. You don't go near one and you stay your distance because they may look like they're kind of like, you know, out of it or whatever, but they're not. You're just asking for trouble if you get into their territory. So we stayed in Medora at the Rough Riders Hotel. Very beautiful hotel. Again, very much a Teddy Roosevelt town area. Everything about that hotel, Teddy Roosevelt. But also something I didn't know when we went there, when I signed up to stay there, was that that hotel is also haunted. And I'm trying to recall this. I believe it's haunted by a little boy, and I can't remember offhand everything that this little boy does. But I don't think it's just a little boy that it's haunted by. I know we were on the second floor, and I know that this haunting seems to happen on the second floor. In fact, if I recall this correctly, because it's been a while, this is the one where there's someone knocking at the door, and sometimes you'll look out your peephole and you'll see someone that looks kind of like a butler standing out there. Well, that's not a butler, and there is no butler in that hotel. There hasn't been one there if there's ever been one there, for years. Certainly a long, long time. Just wondering if everything is in order. Another thing is a little boy, I believe, that likes to run up and down the hallway. And I think it was the hallway that we're in. There is a video. For some reason, someone posted a video of themselves going down the hallway on the second floor. And I just kind of, you know, stood in my tracks here. Because I knew where this gentleman was, where he was walking to. And I thought, oh my God, if he turns and, you know, walks into the room that we were in, how coincidental could that be? Well, the only experience that I can report, like again, very nice hotel, very lovely, is that my husband was in the shower and he frantically called out for me, which he never does, at one point asking what I needed. And I said to him, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm sitting way back in the furthest corner of the hotel room itself. And he called out again, and I went to the bathroom, and I said, what do you want? And he says, no, what do you want? He says, I heard whispering in my ear, asking me, I couldn't hear it very well, it was kind of muddled, but I heard this whispering in my ear, basically saying something. He said, well, I thought it was you. And I can tell you right now, I said, no, it wasn't me, I haven't said a peep. And I said, so then of course what he does is he starts passing it off as nothing. And I said, oh, somebody was in the shower with you, trying to get your attention. Oh, that's really great, I thought, you know. And of course to this day he will never admit it to you that, but the way his voice sounded, shaken and frightened, calling out for me and everything, I just thought, no way to save face here. Anyway, that was what happened at the Rough Riders Hotel. So if you're ever in Medora and you stay at the Rough Riders Hotel, see if they can put you on the second floor. That's where the action apparently is, between the butler at the door or the kid up and down the hallway or somebody hanging out in the shower with you. How's that one? How does that grab you, huh? The next one I want to mention from a talking point standpoint is I want to go back and revisit to you something you've heard from me before. And that was, you'll recall that I've done segments on a couple different segments here on one, which is the attachments. That was one of my recent ones where I had several attachments taken off of me. I had a handprint show up on my body, blood red. And I'll tell you, if that doesn't make you sit up and take notice, till this day, I still really don't know who that was, okay? I don't know. I can tell you that when I had the attachments come out of me, though, that was a real experience, and that was really odd. It was like I was vomiting air. It was really weird. Let's just say that I know that that was very real. The other thing that I've been on the search for, and I haven't had anything happen recently that I know of, is again this debate about whether or not some of this is possibly related to a UFO abduction, which my memory might have been erased, or I've had a visitor, some type of alien type visitor manifest around me in an invisible way or manner where I could tell a difference in my body, okay? And then, of course, you will recall that ever since I started having some of these situations, that I have been winning jackpots in casinos, okay? And I'm not talking little ones either. And so one of the things that I've been noticing on myself when I win jackpots is that I get to a very, very, very tired state of being. And I just listened to another paranormal program just recently on this, and they were talking about the same kind of thing that I was experiencing. And they don't know me. You know, you listen to all kinds of programs and people offer up information and you just sit up and take notice. But someone was saying about how some kind of UFO/alien type, not necessarily an abduction, but even a visitation of some sort, which I believe I had in Las Vegas about 3 years ago because I woke up feeling really funny, can have a tendency to start eliciting all kinds of weird things happening to a person. And one of the things that was happening to me was that I started winning large jackpots at casinos. Some people will say, oh, you're just lucky. That's just luck. I am really sorry. I'm going to have to debate you on that one because I can tell a difference between being lucky and being tremendously unlucky. I have lost money in situations and then all of a sudden, miraculously, I will win that money back and more. So let me tell you a little bit about my Las Vegas experience. I didn't get a chance this time to write because I wouldn't been able to focus anyway. Between the COVID and between being paranoid about all the germs floating around in with people coming from everywhere and anywhere, I was very careful about where I visited, stayed in Las Vegas. I did stay again at the Wynn. We were not necessarily up real high like the when I had my experience. I was there by myself, and it was about like on the 60th floor or something really, really high. But I've never had that feeling since. But my point is that I was out at the Pioneer Saloon showing my guest the area and explaining the hauntedness that went on at the Pioneer Saloon, especially during the evening time. And wouldn't you know it, that it was actually coincidental that there was a time before when I was out there, also in the same area, even, doesn't matter if it's day or night, where I went into a trance at a hotel that I stayed in. It wasn't the Wynn, but it was a different one, hotel that I stayed in the shower. Long story short, I just got back, I believe, from that excursion that day, checked into this hotel where I had this experience before, was extremely tired, hit a certain point of tiredness within my body, went over to a machine that was brand new, and I don't mind telling you, it was the horse racing machine, just essentially sat there numb. And to a point of being so tired that I just started just crazily betting little high amounts. It was weird. But what happened and what I learned was that I was the first person since that machine came into that building to actually win a jackpot on that machine. And the manager wanted to know how I did it. And I just told him that I was a high roller and that when I get tired, I just sometimes make stupid bets and stuff like that, just to let him know. But he was absolutely just dumbfounded. Like, how did you win on this machine? And I said, well, you know, things do come up. I said, this is what I know about what I've experienced on this machine. And I was trying to explain it. It wasn't like he was suspicious of me, but he was baffled because nobody had won a jackpot on that machine and they weren't quite wondering what the deal was with it until I came along. Well, you know, the IRS is going to be happy. I mean, every time you win something, they have to fill out an IRS form. Guess what happens to my situation? Well, I have to report it. So it was a nice, it's always nice to win jackpots at casinos, and then it's bittersweet because, you know, oftentimes if you don't have enough to counteract that in some way, you end up paying for it in the end. All right, so anyway, the next thing I wanted to just basically tell you, so that was my jackpot experience again. I wanted to touch base on Custer State Park, and this will be the last one that I talk about on this show tonight because I'm going to spend some time on my next show talking about the bed and breakfast experience. So I just want to apologize that I'm running out of time, but I just want you to just pay attention and take note that the next show that I do post after this one on Podomatic, which I believe will be like segment 77 or something around that area, is going to be about a very interesting my experience at this bed and breakfast and what I learned while being at this bed and breakfast in Minnesota. But let me just touch quickly on the Custer Park state experience and go from there. So my husband and I stayed at a cabin in Custer State Park. We weren't expecting anything to happen at all while being there because it was just didn't seem like the place that anything would happen. From the moment that we entered into the cabin that we stayed in and I started taking pictures, I started capturing very, very distinct, large, solid orbs fluttering around the room. In the kitchen, I caught one very solid standing by a chair. Caught one in the bedroom, caught one above my husband's head, caught one over by the couch, caught it everywhere in the cabin, but I cannot tell you to this day who or what it was. I do know that it was someone or something. It was some apparition or energy of something. I did have nightmares when I was in that cabin. It just so happens the very next day when I woke up to my nightmare happening further with a situation that I won't get into over the radio. But let's just say that it was very real, it was very ugly, and it was very negative. The moral of the story with this one is this. I didn't know that anything or someone may have passed away or been hanging around Custer State Park. I will eventually look into that, and maybe if I can find anything, I'll report it on my next show along with the Bed and Breakfast extravaganza. But I just wanted to mention it quickly because just about the time you think nothing is around you, by you, near you, or could still exist anywhere, you will be surprised to know that oftentimes something does decide that it's going to take its presence in a territory or in a cabin in a very beautiful, beautiful park that you think nothing's going to happen or go on. And just before you know it, you're going to have one of the worst nightmares of your life. Thank you so much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Please stay tuned for upcoming episodes as we move forward to getting through the end of this year. Thank you and good night.